the highbrow room, it's sleep time's over with DJ Zach Morris and Jay Lee.
You know this. Okay, just check it.
One thing I'd like to say, any artist out there want to be an artist and want to stay a star, don't have to worry about the executive producer trying to be all in the videos, all on the records, dancing.
Look at the booing. Hold on. Isn't that something? At the Source Awards. There you have it. There you have it. We're at 2019. Sleep Time's Over is back. And there it is. It's only fitting we start 2019 with Suge Knight. Because just from... So you never saw what happened with the BCS?
No, I was working.
Okay. Good. That's yes. Responsible. So at the BCS, Clemson came out. Long story short, they did the Suge Knight. Not the word for word.
Uh-huh.
But in you know, Step to Death Valley, right?
Yes.
Such a random reference in 2019 that people are not even going to get that in our, you know, my demographic probably not going to remember that.
Do you see some kind of correlation or relevance?
No, I don't.
No, okay.
I don't see anything. I don't know how this guy knows about this or how he found out about it, but it's viral apparently. Suge Knight, everyone. He used to be the owner of Death Row Records for anyone.
Who would have thought in 2019 Suge Knight be talking about him?
It was amazing. He's in jail laughing right now, or you know. So that sums up what has just happened last night. We'll get to that in a little bit. But
speaking of happened? People in jail, surviving R. Kelly, is he gonna hopefully be in jail soon?
We're starting
that?
It just like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, started it right off. Right. Did you watch the?
Yes, that's out of control.
You
out of control.
It,
yes. Anyone who's hasn't been keeping up with surviving R. Kelly. Riveting programming. The best show like Lifetime's ever had.
Really?
Usually it's like, you know, false movies. Exactly. Of course you play this song. I mean, what is Lifetime really? It's about, you know, domestic abuse, more domestic abuse, mm-hmm. you know, and then just, you know, find some other kind of D-list actor, you know.
Are we surprised?
No.
No.
Not at
okay.
all.
Okay. Yeah.
He married Aaliyah. Lee was 15, and this was like in 93, so we all saw what was going on. It's just a lot has come out. They showed the video. They showed clips of the sex tape.
Did they?
How does Lifetime get away with this? It's amazing. It's blurred out, but it's like, what are they doing? And I don't know if anyone's out there has caught this great show. It's a three-parter.
Did anybody watch the show?
Anybody have the,
oh, wow.
the Notion
six-parter?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, enjoy. But... just out of control. R. Kelly's a madman. Not really.
Now I didn't yes. watch it, but you said you watched it. do you like a lot of lyrics and songs kind of like certain things click now that all of this has come to light? Is it like, oh my God, we were listening to these songs?
From the second album, it started because it was public announcement. Then he went into like very raunchy R&B style lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, nobody really caught on, of course. And then here comes Aaliyah. They never reveal how old Aaliyah is.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't reveal how old she is. Things come out. And then his career kind of kept going, and it kind of died out a little bit, the whole underage girl thing.
Yeah.
And then
the peeing on people.
Peeing on people came up, yes. Yes, thank you, Dave Chappelle.
You would think that would be more of a red flag, but no, it was a thing for a little bit, and then kind of just let him go for a while.
How is he not in jail?
That's what I'm saying.
How is he not in jail?
Bottom line, though, what do you think this what impact do you think this has on his music? People are still going to listen to it, or are we canceling him? Do we still have cancel culture now? That's what I heard.
Yeah,
which is
that's what I heard.
That's
the
incredible,
streams are
right?
Yeah. Yellow Strike, got it, I got it.
Are people still going to step in the name of love?
Okay, that's a good question.
You know?
Are you still playing Step in the Name of Love at your wedding? You know, say you meet that special fella. Could you play Step in the Name of Love?
It's such a classic, like, I feel
See?
Like, but does that mean that I'm supporting him?
Yeah.
And what he does? Really, it does. So you're never playing...
I ain't playing that again.
You're never playing any R. Kelly ever.
I'm going to say this for the record right now. As I do my disc jockeying sets, mm-hmm. I'm not going to play R. Kelly again.
Was he ever really a it's big part weird. Of your...
Oh, yeah. Really? I played Step in the Name of Love. I played that. There'd be the song with Biggie.
Oh, yeah, that's
the
right.
Be Happy remix. Mm-hmm. Obscure.
And so no more for you.
I don't know. I mean, I always play Guilty Proven Innocent, Jay-Z. He's got a lot of good songs.
But, I mean, you said that this is not a surprise. So, why? Because it's, like, even more out there?
Well, right
it's
now, like, he needs to go to jail right now.
Okay.
And that's kind of where it's at right okay. now. There's no... Just take him straight to jail. There's no reason for any court or any type of plead the fifth or any of that stuff. It's bad. Are we getting Step in the Name of Love right now?
Oh.
We're getting that again? His mind ain't saying that right now.
Is that going to be our sound bit of the night?
We might as well. I plead the fifth. No, that was Chappelle. That's from something else. But it's not a good look, and I don't know where it's going to go from there. Why isn't there an investigation? What's gonna happen with this six-part thing?
From what I saw today, like, they're starting to open up an investigation, but it's like this thing has been going on for, like, days, and for how long are they just now going to start an investigation?
Well,
it's the world we live in.
All these girls getting kidnapped, and you understand the whole girls getting kidnapped underage thing. I mean, you being a younger demographic, mm-hmm. how he's doing this. I mean, because these are all fangirls, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's totally manipulating them. Okay, you get the whole gist of what's going on. He's mm-hmm. brainwashing them. He's a celebrity.
Yeah.
They don't know any better. They never dated a guy. But I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, women. Sex jail. Wow.
Sex jail.
How's that? It's like a 70s porn, right? This. Okay. Well, moving on from R. Kelly. We gotta get off. We're not starting 2019 with R. Kelly. What's next here?
How's things been going without me? I got back on Sunday night.
Well, it's been quite all right.
Well then.
We had a gentleman named Cavett the Catalyst be the guest host.
Heard of him.
We had Angry Wobots. We had Woes. Mm-hmm. He was signing things for everyone. Everyone's getting autographs, man. You missed out. I don't know.
Could have
got the, like, Sharpie Panda on you. Your
did you get any merchandise attire? For me?
Merchandise
or autographs? Did you...
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So the kid's saying, I ain't got time. I got to take care of the show. I got to take care of these lights we got going on here. I got to put Kalapana there. But let's just acknowledge this for a second. Okay, this is something that we need to acknowledge as 2018 ended. Okay, so you're familiar with Kalapana, right? Oh, Lord. Let's put that down. When the black guy knows. Okay, let me tell you. You see,
to be fair, is this something that someone my age would know?
Okay, in honesty, okay. That's an honest thing to say, but it's something that, because it's so historical.
Oh, okay.
And much like you're a student, much like you have a job and you're a responsible person, you research things,
mm-hmm.
and this is where it's at. This is the first album.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then the person who passed away, see, we're teaching people live on this thing. So is this gentleman, do we have Kalapana played up? No, you're just, there we go. You're staring at me, scared. You know this song?
Yes.
Got it, okay. There we go, you have this guy right here. Rest in peace, Melania, the lead singer.
Okay.
They performed after he passed away.
Oh.
And that must have been just a total emotional, incredible thing. But yes. Hawaiian music, they don't make this kind of Hawaiian music anymore. It's all about, I'm in love with a one-night stand, and I don't want to be your man. And it's the only song I know, so if there's anything else you want to throw out there, anyone, that's really all I got. Or Drop Baby Drop. That's kind of like old. No.
Honey Baby?
No.
No.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh.
You see? I don't even know. Or something from, I don't know, Fiji, or I don't know, what you can go down the line. But this is it. This is good Hawaiian music. So we have to acknowledge that.
Salute.
Kalapana. Yes. Rest in peace. Yes. What else happened to you as you were gone? Because you went away for like 2 weeks, right?
I was gone for about 3.5 weeks.
3.5 weeks.
I'm glad it felt shorter to you, though.
Yeah. that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
A great thing happened to me on the way there.
You met a boy.
You know what? This is like actually the first time that would actually apply.
Really?
Yeah. And this is like great serendipity because I missed my original flight. Mom sent me with Filipino, that's why she sent me with like 3 Blink Bion boxes. And so if I wouldn't have had those boxes, I would have been on time. But because I had them, it was too late for me to check in for a flight. So they had to reschedule me for a flight like an hour later. So I wasn't supposed to be on this flight. But on said flight, I met a guy.
Really?
Yes. Oh. You know, like every time I go on a plane, I'm like, come on, can I just please?
Young people dating,
please,
come on.
Please, can I sit next to someone cute, please? It's always some never old happens, person really. Right. Or someone that likes to fill into my seat.
Right.
You know, it's just. But no, this was the one.
This was a gentleman caller.
Yes.
Oh, the one. Really?
2 hours. No, but
the one. You sang the one.
I fumbled the bag, though. I fumbled the bag. So we talked for like 2 hours straight, just back and forth, talking.
Oh, I just love those conversations.
Oh, yeah, it's great. But so it was a red eye. So then we're like, okay, like both gotta get some sleep. So we went to sleep, and then we wake up, and so we had a connecting flight.
Oh.
And so we did the whole thing. We came off the plane together, and we were like helping each other find each other's gate. And then like he asked for my number, and then because we had this great conversation about how it's weird that. You know, when you first meet people nowadays, like, you ask for their social media. And I was just saying, like, you know, I meet guys and they ask for my Snapchat and, you know, things don't really go anywhere.
Oh, there you go,
and then
right?
You have, like, a bunch DMs, of, like, random people that are, like, have this big insight to your life.
Send
so it's, like,
pics.
Kind of weird. But anyway, so he asked for my number. He's like, you know, like, you know, social media, like, what's your number? It's like, God, oh, this is great. Like,
how awesome. Old is this gentleman?
He's my age.
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, surprisingly.
So then did you guys know beforehand that you had connecting flights? Or was this a surprise? Like, you're saying, like, oh, I'm about
surprise.
To go now. Oh, really? So you did
yeah.
the thing, like, I'm about to go now. I have a connecting
yeah,
flight.
I like,
oh, I have a connecting flight, too.
Wasn't okay. that cheesy, but I was like, I'm, like, this way. And
okay.
he's like, so, but the thing is, like, I don't know if it was because my signal was bad. So, like, I put my number in, like, I'm like, 95% sure I put the right number in. Like, I keep thinking about it now, but and I try to call my phone from his.
And in a twist, phone. Your phone don't work right now.
It doesn't.
I've been
so I don't have
texting
his
you 69
number.
Times and nothing has happened. So your phone is down.
It
your
really
phone is.
Is
down. So this guy isn't. This gentleman caller is not calling you.
No. So
I don't know what's up with your phone.
He said
man.
That we should hang out because he was gonna be where he was gonna be until like Christmas time, and I told him I wasn't gonna be back on island
right.
till now.
Right.
And so he's like, you know, we should hang out. I was like, cool. But then the thing is, he's never hit me back up yet. And I don't have his number.
Dang.
But I know where he works. I know that sounds really weird.
You see?
Is that weird? It's like... Okay, anyone who... You know, Aaron. I don't have connections like this with people. So it's like, do I do it like casually? Be like, hey, there's someone... No,
for everyone that
like
may not know, you are correct. Yes, you're an old soul, as I say.
Yes.
This does not happen. What I don't know what you're going to do with this. You are you going to go visit him at his work? Where does he work at?
Is that weird?
Where does he work at? Zippy's like, or something? Where's he
no,
at?
No, he actually works at.
We're going to out him
by.
Right now. Really? It's Club Sundance across the street. He's the manager.
No, UFC actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so is he? He works at UFC. Is he? Trainer.
He's in your field of work.
Oh God, forget it. No.
But he's
really?
Going. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks on that.
So
okay,
it's a big
so,
question mark right now, but I guess we'll see how it goes.
And what? So you talked to this guy for 2 hours. You're saying
straight 2 hours straight.
And then what are the topics? What is he into? What's his interest?
We talked about like everything, like life goals. Books, sports, where we came from, just like any and everything for just 2 hours straight. It was just
wonderful.
It was beautiful.
Wow, oh my goodness. Well, you can
surprisingly people know how to conversate nowadays.
Go figure. And
yeah,
in your demographic. Okay, so we'll see how this goes on, because you know Valentine's Day is coming up, everyone.
It is.
And the Valentine's special is coming soon, and we have a very you may have to be the experiment on this one.
Oh,
well
gosh.
Okay, so anyone that what we're going to do on Valentine's Day show, and this is the third annual Valentine's, we're going to have a live Tinder date on here. And
hey.
we're going to get a special gal to swipe right or left or whatever you do, and then meet a gentleman, conversate this gentleman, and then bring him here without him knowing. And then we're going to just see what happens.
Is that legal to just like...
Probably not.
Okay.
But we're going to try it. And who knows, right? So yeah, that's coming up. You hopefully... things will be going well where you don't have to do this. You will find some other broad.
Some other broad, because
yeah, so.
I'm a broad.
No, you're a woman.
Thank you.
See?
Thank you.
That's how you be charming. Okay, so what else we got? What's the next topics?
Oh, so I mean, I just real quick, I went to this festival called Rolling Loud, and I was present. I don't know if any of you guys saw when Offset interrupted Cardi B's show to try to apologize to her. Like, I was live in... witnessing this, and he comes out
yes.
interrupting her show. So that was, live.
Explain to the people that don't know about that one. That was a big one.
Yeah, so Cardi B and Offset of Migos have been off and on. They have a child together. He's a known cheater. It's already been out. But yeah, he's trying to apologize and win her back, I guess. So he comes out in the middle of her set with, like, I think flowers in one eye. I was a little bit far away, so I couldn't see exactly, but he interrupts her set. And from the sounds of it, it sounds like the organizers of the event, like, knew what was going on, which I don't know if that's
professional.
Yeah, if that's really professional or not. But she ended up saying, like, someone's, like, fired after this. Like, she kind of mumbled it under her breath, so I don't know how well that went. But that was interesting to see
this
live.
Big viral moment, okay.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, you know, Cardi B just happened to
be
on the island.
Yeah, I think she was there. So I was there, I think, like, the 15th of December, and then she was here on island, right, with Snoop Dogg and Sublime.
You know, as I rarely swear on this show, but the shit show of the year.
I was going to ask, like, how
Cardi
did that
B,
go? Was there a big turnout?
Snoop Dogg, they were all there. Everybody fighting, all the women fighting. Everybody's passed out, drunk. I would say it looked like the whole flat was covered. The back was full. I'm going to say maybe about 22,000.
Is that good? Did it look full in the stadium,
though? It was more crowded than Guns N' Roses and Eagles.
Oh,
It was more than that, yeah. So
that's surprising.
Well, I mean, as you know, it's great marketing because, you know, whoever put this together, right? We get Sublime, so we draw the Howling
hippies,
right? Oh, you want me to Well, you see, bro, I mean, you just want to get this party, right? You just have Sublime, and you just get, you know, you get all the, you know, all the hippies, right? Those come in and just listen to rock. And then, you know, you know, all the girls, all the bitches, they're like Cardi B, right? Those twerk and, you know, the fight. And then we get all the old people that go smoke weed and go to see Snoop, right? So everybody's smoking weed in here. You got the Hollies, you got all the West Side, East Side, Central Side, they're all coming in, they're all fighting. UFC's there probably, maybe your boy's there, I don't know. But then they're all going to be there, and it was the shit show of the year. The video I'm sure everyone saw on everywhere. Everybody's posting IG Live of this. So you fights everywhere. It's all girls fighting.
Wow.
Majority, I mean, I'm sure there were guys
too,
fighting, but there was all girls fighting, just type, what? Why? And they're doing all that kind of stuff. You fucker. Rarely I swear on the shit. But then that's what was happening.
Wow.
It was a mess. So our special guest, I'm going to ask him a question regarding this that might be a thing for the future is regard to the UFC coming to the island. Will this kind of thing affect it or not? That's kind of something I wanted to discuss later because it was pretty bad.
Oh.
And there's been a string of these Aloha Stadium events, which has never happened in years.
Yeah.
Eminem's coming, too. Like, what's the reasoning for all these?
Yeah, Bruno first, and then now
Is this some kind of a plan to kind of build Aloha Stadium up to be this thing to what is the plan here? Because this has never happened. There's some Bruno Mars is something else, because he's from here. He did it because, you know, he's from here. But all of these, the Eagles, Guns N' Roses.
Eminem.
I mean, you know, and Cardi Stadium. B and the sub, give a damn. I mean, so what is the reasoning? So that's what else happened before 2019 left. I basically did nothing for the end of the year. So you got to roll this out because I take off.
That's it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Christmas, do nothing. New Year's, nothing. Stay home. I'm tired. Okay.
Your age is showing right now.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm 40, damn it. So I'm just saying, because New Year's Eve into New Year's morning, most overrated of the year.
Oh,
most overrated night of the year.
I agree. Because
you got amateurs running around drinking. You got people, you know, throwing up, fighting, twerking, whatever they're doing. And I don't want to deal with that. I just want to stay home and just be done with it. Why do you want to wake up? God, I sound old right now. That's just how I feel. I don't know if what did you do?
I was with family for both holidays.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
because you're still mailing.
Yes, I was still in California for both of them.
Right.
Christmas, my mom's side does Christmas Eve on their side, and dad's side does Christmas Day. So that's kind of it. It was pretty mellow, and then between Christmas and New Year's, I went to Texas. Yeah.
Wait a minute, I did not know this.
Yeah, it was like a quick thing between.
I have a hard time following the Snapchat. Okay, so where did you go in Texas?
I went to Austin first. I flew in there and I visited my best friend who lives out there.
Yeah.
She took me to this place. I don't know if any of you guys have been. It's called Sixth Street. It's like, I guess, like the equivalent of their like Waikiki plus Chinatown put together. So like it's their scene, basically, their bar scene. But I was only there during the daytime, but it was pretty cool. I think you'd actually like it there. There's a bunch of different bars and
Austin's, it's an eclectic.
Yeah, actually.
Town. Yeah.
So she took me there and then she drove me down to San Antonio where my brother and his family live and then spent 2 days right. there, and then flew back before New Year's to California, and wow. just spent time with family there.
Wow, San Antonio as well.
Yeah.
Is it true what they say about San Antonio?
What do you, I don't Charles know, people Barkley say said about
that San Antonio. All the women are ugly in San Antonio. Is that true?
Did you see? Know, why do people say that? Because
Charles Barkley did. I don't know.
Somebody else asked me today. I was one of the trainers, because I told him I went to San Antonio. He's like, is it true that like people are over there like in San Antonio are like fat and ugly? I was like, San Antonio is really getting a bad rap here. I was like, I don't really judge people like that.
Charles Barkley said it. Well, so maybe that's why people believe him. You know, yeah, that's yeah. probably the only thing. You know, speaking of San Antonio, there's this place called the Alamo. You know about the Alamo?
I've heard of this place.
You know if the Alamo has a basement?
Is this like a joke?
It does not. Oh. It does not.
It's just like, it's like...
It's from the movie Pee-wee's Big okay. Adventure. Okay. He had to go to get his bike. The gypsy fortune teller told him to go to the Alamo because it had a basement and his bike was there. Sorry, you just mentioned San Antonio. Sorry. After San Antonio, where did you go?
Back to California.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then just lived your best life after that?
Always.
Okay. Yeah, it's time for the awards. I'm tired of hearing the mainland. Let's go with what's happening now. Let's talk about what's going on in this island. The best ofs. Did you have a best of?
I feel like, so you sent me this list to do.
We're gonna knock this out quick.
I feel like you're gonna be upset with me, but I feel like I should just remind you that I'm not really from here. Like, I know I live here,
well,
but
who really is from here?
Not really, yeah. from here.
That's fine.
So
that's
I feel fine. Like Start I, sh- I feel one. Like I should just ask you, and then if I have a place in mind, then I will chime in.
All right. Do you eat plate lunch?
So what is when you when you say you that know, does like a Korean fried chicken?
You're half Filipino, Jaylene. Come on. You know someone that knows someone that's going to be really pissed off right now that you say you don't know what plate lunch is. Come on. But you know, you've gone to Helena's.
Yes. Is that considered plate lunch?
No.
Okay. See, but, no, I didn't think so.
When you're going to eat lunch, where do you go? What do you do? You're Snapchatting. You hang out with all the Filipino girls. Where are you girls all going?
Well, you said one. Helena's is...
You're not going to Helena's 5 days a week. Okay. Where else are you guys going?
Yanagi's.
All right. Yes. For lunch? What are you talking about?
Oh, no. Okay, no, that's late night. Okay. Grab poke from wherever, whether it's okay. Fresh Catch or Lodzona when you get...
Nagatomura's.
Yeah.
Kemoku Seafood.
Yeah.
Right. So you gone to Kemoku Seafood?
I haven't personally been, but you brought me some. Friends
actually, yeah,
some.
I actually got you.
Yeah.
Set myself. Okay. Go. So, play lunch, okay. So, like, you know, anything Kalihi, right? School Street, Kalihi. That's the only place we got play lunch. It's the only place you go.
I asked Rachel about this, and she said, right, she said Kalihi. Plate lunch or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah,
Kalihi.
She, okay, yeah. So, she exactly. got me one of those, and it was good, but it's like.
All right, long story short.
What about you? Okay, what's your favorite plate lunch?
This has been debatable through the years. Kevin and I have gone back and forth with this, back and forth. We had a big vote.
Mm-hmm.
We had Kevin's kids decide for us. It was between Richie's or Bob's Barbecue. That was the two main ones. Richie's is the only plate lunch with a drive-thru.
Oh.
Which is fantastic. You just drive in there.
Where is this at?
This is North Nimitz. This is North King. North King. King Street. Yeah, King Street. Drive-thru. Just go in there, yeah. Boneless chicken. Better than Rainbow's.
Some objection from the crowd.
Cut it up. Forget it. You go in there, you get the boneless chicken, all the aunties are there.
So boneless chicken is what I would go there for.
Yes.
Okay.
But then you got to tell them to put the gravy on it too, for some reason.
The gravy is...
Because the menu doesn't say gravy on it, so you got to go like, you know, and then it's a really bad intercom, right? So you just got to go in. You always got to... They know why you're there, but you always have to be at like, can I make an order? You always got to do that voice.
Okay. Yeah,
you got to do it. Even though no, they know you're there to make an order, but you have to take, is it okay if I order? Well, they go, yeah, sure,
but
shut up.
First.
You got to do that.
Okay.
Even when you're on the phone, when they answer the phone, you want, can I make a takeout order? No, why are you calling? That's what you got to do. So you just do that. You tell the auntie you want to make takeout order, boneless chicken, put the gravy on.
With the gravy on.
Yes. And then they're going to say, what? And then you got to repeat it again because they're not going to be able to hear. So you get that, Richie's, and then you go Bob's Barbecue right after you get the barbecue chicken. That's it.
Okay.
You get the hibachi chicken, sorry.
Hibachi chicken.
Clarification, yeah. And then those are the top two there. What else we got? Gracie's Inn.
Okay.
Right? Chicken katsu.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Iman, where you at?
Yeah.
There's only one left.
There was multiple.
Had one.
Okay.
It was like Paul and I, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
The last one.
Baritania. Best bathroom you ever going to go in. Yeah. People come in, people don't get out. So just go with Gracie's Inn.
Go Gracie's Bathroom.
Gracie's Bathroom. Yeah. Very risque place. So the winner this year, last year's winner was, I think it was Kamoko Seafood. But I have to go back to, you know, when you have that craving, you got to go to Boneless Chicken, Richie's.
Okay.
That's my pick. Put your lunch there.
Noticed.
You better go over there. Hurry up.
I will.
Okay, what else you got?
Restaurant. Favorite restaurant. You said plate lunch, restaurant, different.
Okay.
Restaurant. Yours.
I got to go again with the place I just recently posted on the Instagram, as the kids call it. Senya. I have to go with Senya. Wow, look at this.
Yes.
Wow. Rice. How about it? Wow. With rice. Now with rice.
Right.
So.
Now with rice.
As you know, we had Chris Kajoka on as guest, and that's what we were telling him. Why don't you get rice? I put it with the short rib.
He said it was always a possibility, but people just never asked
exactly
for it.
So we pulled the trigger on this Monday night. That's what we did. Senya, he was there. I told Mr. and you, we mentioned his name as well, Mr. Nick Hammond.
Yes,
he's currently in love.
Yes.
He was there. He was, I told Nick, how about we pull the trigger? Let's get the rice. And he told Kajoka.
And rice was brought for you.
Well, he was going to get rice from Pig and the Lady, but Pig and the Lady was closed, so they were going to go to Little Village.
Down the line.
To run down and get the rice from there. But they said, screw it, and he made the rice there.
Wow, just for you.
He made the... I don't want to, you know, toot my horn, but yes, he made the truffle rice live, and he brought the thing over like this, and like this, and it worked. It worked.
Wow.
Yeah.
You still owe me a dinner.
We're going to go there, right? Yes. I'll take you there, yes. That's still yet. That's Five Mic Restaurant. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with that one.
Well, I look forward to it then.
Yes. Yeah, so what did you have a restaurant here?
Not really.
Okay. What we got? What else
we got? You know my life. It's just work and school. So I don't have. I'm not like you. I'm not fancy, and I don't get to enjoy these.
I just want to eat
places with food.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's just.
All right.
I think the best I got was like when we would do the hip hop dinners. Those are fancy, and those are cool for me.
Yes, so. We had the hip-hop dinner, Picking the Lady, and stuff like that. Right. Right, those are good times.
I think that's the most exposure I get to.
Okay, well, you may not eat, but you're young, so you drink, right? So where's your top bar? Where do you like to go? Bar of the year. Do you have a pick for this?
Yes, I do, but I don't want to offend. And the reason,
I
the
swore
main reason.
Earlier.
Oh God, no! I really like. Just for clarification, because you can't see sarcasm. I really don't drink all that much. So I don't really know the bar scene too much. I just wherever people take me is where I go. So I really like Pine and Trigger for their mixed emotions drink. I can drink.
Oh, well.
So many of those.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Yes, that is the drink they got there, Mixed Emotions,
yes.
Much like all of us here. Yes, that is a great drink, and I can't fault you on that. I got married there, for God's sakes.
Yeah,
my reception. My reception. My reception, not my sermon. But yes, we've been there since day one. I totally agree with you on that.
Okay, so what about you?
Good choice.
Thank you.
Yes. So for bar, see, Pine Sugar would be up there, but, you know, I don't want to be biased or anything or just say anything that's, you know, biased. But I'm going to have to pick someplace called the Highbrow Room. I just have to say, you know, I think...
Yes!
I just have to say, you know, I want to fairly, you know, look at each bar and just say which one really, truly has my heart. And I just have to say the Highbrow Room has got it. You know, it's quaint, you know, it's intimate. You have great drinks from this man that, you know, they call him the Lord, for God's sake. You know, the Lord Flores is here.
Mm-hmm.
Best place to hang out? I don't... Okay, enough ass kissing. Okay, next one. What else we got?
Best album.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's go with that. So what is your best... when did you give us a... You gave me a 10 here.
I gave you 10 and some honorable mentions. It was...
Okay.
As we've already talked about, there's been a lot of music that's been dropped this year. Kind of a lot more than normal.
Right.
So
what do we got? Why don't you give us the top 5?
I feel like I don't... I'll give you all of them real fast, but
okay.
I don't want to like look in Sky's direction because I don't want to see any disproving looks. But I'm gonna just read right through it. No,
that's
I'm
good.
Kidding. I have a feeling he'll agree with some of these. And this is in no particular order.
There we go. Let's go. All
right. Okay. Swimming by Mac Miller. Streams of Thought, Volume 1 by Black Thought.
There we
Pieces
go.
Of a Man by Mick Jenkins. Care for Me by Saba. Noir, by Smino. K.O.D. by J. Cole. DiCaprio 2 by J.I.D. Room 25 by No Name, Whack World by Tierra Whack. The next one that I'm about to mention, I did not like it very much at first, but I feel like it has grown on me, and it has actually been pretty significant for 2018. Astroworld by Travis Scott. Like, you can't go anywhere.
Houston's own. Yeah.
There you go. And then honorable mentions to Victory Lap by Nipsey Hussle, Redemption by J-Rock, and
So you can't pick one album out of that to represent 2018? What do you think? One that said it all.
I know for personally me, my album, but I don't know for all of 2018. Personally.
What's your personal pick here?
Personally, Swing by Mac Miller.
Rest in peace.
Yes. And that's not because he passed away. It was, if you look, and I know you have on here my favorite artist of the year. My favorite artist of the year is Mac Miller. If you look.
Right, that's right.
If you talk about growth and an artist, if you look from where he started with Kids and even before that, when he was Easy Mac. He hates that. Just to see the evolution to his, unfortunately, his final album is just amazing, especially for me. I kind of grew up listening to him, so he was one of the, I talked about this earlier, he's one of the celebrities whose death I actually felt because I feel like we grew with him and his music. And if you listen to all of his projects, and he does have a lot of them and a lot of, also a lot of personas that he's had. You know, Larry Fisherman is his producer and a lot of that other stuff. It's just a lot of growth, and I don't know if we see too much of that from artists. Like, they kind of do kind of the same thing and maybe branch off a little bit, but the growth that he's shown over the past 10 plus years, and he was only like 25.
Songs, like the singing songs. He did a lot of singing.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of that? That phase?
Actually, yes. I was at first.
It was okay.
It was different, and I think that's what I appreciate about his music. I think if he would have lived longer, he would have broken down barriers for what the traditional sound of hip hop was, and he would do it in a very special way because he does know his hip hop history and all that stuff, and he definitely pays homage to all of that. And I feel like that's lacking in a lot of new artists now, that respect for past artists.
I listen to him over MGK. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, so that's mine.
Okay. Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, right off the bat, I gotta say the Black Thought album is the album of the year. That's all I'm gonna say. The Black Thought, the Salaam Remy.
Yes.
Same clapping for when we said rest in peace, Mac Miller. I don't know if that's so, but it's got to be the album of the year. I mean, I don't know how else.
Hip hop album of the year.
Because it's so convoluted what hip hop is now.
Yeah.
No one really seems to know what hip hop is in 2018. You have all these different kind of genres of things that have broken off. If you were to ask somebody and say, if somebody were to ask you and be like, what is hip hop to someone? That. You play them this album.
Yeah.
And you this is it.
I agree.
It's as clear cut, and every song is. It's pretty much I gave it a 5-mic album. I'm still gonna hold on to it. It's a 5-mic album.
I would too. I definitely agree.
He's evolved. He's gotten more. The wordplay has gotten more intelligent. It's just evolved into something just monstrous over from what he started with at the Roots, and he's still with the Roots. Oh. And they're on Jimmy Fallon, for God's sakes. You'd think they'd sell out or not put out any albums. Here he goes, putting out something, best thing of the year. So I gotta go with that one. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that come up. Royce. Pusha T album, J-Rock album, Master Ace, Marco Polo, Nipsey Hussle, even the OC album. Although all the old futs didn't remember OC, he had a new album that was good. Bun B had a good album.
Oh,
so I got to shout out the local kids need food that have been performing. They perform the Cabot Store. I think they're gonna make their move and be like one of the first like Hawaii people to make it go national. I think it's gonna be Kids Need Food. That'll be the next thing. What else we got on this thing? Is that about it? What time we got here? 33? Yeah, I think it's next time we go and take a break here, because we got...
Wait, one more question. On.
We got something else?
Yeah, just from me to you. It is the new year. I don't know. I feel like I kind of really answered, but I'm just asking live here. Any New Year's resolutions for you?
Oh, come on.
I have to ask. It's the new year.
Bottom line, if you want to do something, you do it now. You do it. You don't have to wait to January 1st, December 31st, none of that stuff. You just go and you take care of it. You got something you got to take care of, do it. That's all it is.
Message to everybody. Anything that we're leaving in 2018? We leaving anything 2018?
2018. Infinity War was a good movie.
That's our big takeaway, Infinity War.
So we can leave 2018 behind. Let's get out of here. Let's take a break, because we got something special to conclude with our best of 2018 review. We've got KHON Sports Director coming on for the second time.
The second time?
Mr. Rob DeMello is going to be joining us. So let's take a break. Sleep time's over.
Sleep Time's Over. We'll be right back. Sleep Time's Over is back with another banger.
I'm getting used to the whole delay. I really am. All right, Sleep Time's Over is back. We got 2018. Yeah, is the review continues. And our next guest, it's actually been almost a year since this gentleman has been on the show. And it's always good times, and it's only fitting when I talk sports with KHON Sport Director, Mr. Rob DeMello. Here he is.
Exactly.
Hey, hello.
Yeah. We all know the lyrics.
Right.
Oh, boy.
One you knew.
The people out there that don't know.
Okay.
Why Golden Girls?
I have no idea.
That's your favorite one.
Yeah, I think it's because my favorite person in the world growing up was my grandmother.
Yes.
And I just saw all these old people on television that looked just like my grandma and talked like my grandma, and she loved cheesecake too.
We all bought it.
But the funny thing is, watching Golden Girls then, I loved it. I cracked up, right? I thought it was the greatest thing ever. I watch it now as an adult, and I say, there is no chance I understood anything in that show. That is raunchy,
right?
It is bad.
We all bought in, though. I think it was from exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
We all watched this as kids, and we had no idea why.
We all loved our grandmas.
Yeah.
We love cheesecake.
Yeah.
They're in Boca Raton, Florida, right? A lot like Hawaii.
Right.
We just related to it.
Right. You know? And Betty White was old in that show, and she's still alive.
Still kicking.
How about it for Betty White?
Still kicking, man.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Well, how you been, man? What's been going on? 2018?
Good, bro. Hey, you know, so the last time I came on the show, the first thing I said was, you have the greatest name of all time, right?
Yes.
Zach Morris, right?
Everybody. Thank you, yes.
So I got to tell you that I went to LA in December.
Yes, you did.
And I went to the Saved by the Bell pop-up restaurant in Santa Monica. And everybody needs to check this place out.
So this was in Chicago before, and then it moved? Does it move around?
I don't know.
How did you come across this thing?
So a friend of mine I saw on Instagram, and it was just a picture of her in Mr. Belding's office. And I was like, how the hell is she in Mr. Belding's office? Like, what is this? So I hit her up and I said, where's that from? And she said, oh, there's this pop-up restaurant in LA. You got to check it out. And so just so happened, my wife and I were going to Vegas. Okay. And we legitimately made a stop in LA just for this.
Wow. As you should.
Just to check this out. And it lived up to the hype, man.
It was
the max. It was like the max that we all remember.
Yeah.
Everything, I mean, so there was like a side room that was Mr. Belding's office.
Yeah.
There was the max. There was the lockers in another part. Coolest thing ever. I mean, the food was, you know, it was whatever. It was a burger and fries.
Right. It was just all
that. And I had a beer, and but the experience was awesome, man. Yeah, it was great.
That's awesome.
It was great. I was thinking of you the whole time.
Wow. I was wondering, we could just all cry. Just cry. If that comes along, oh gosh. You remember?
Oh, it's over.
Right?
It's over.
You know Saved by the Bell. Have you watched this show before?
I've heard of it.
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Wait, we're not booing that it's on Netflix, right?
Definitely
booing
me.
It's on Netflix. Binge watch. It lives. You can still watch it today.
I was gonna say, is it relevant today?
Because I still do.
Okay.
I still watch it. In fact, I'm gonna have my daughter start watching it.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Because
I made that decision.
Right. It's just it's simple television. You don't have to think.
It's great.
There's more.
And it's so. I mean, so many facets. I mean, Kelly Kapowski is the first love of my life.
That's it. Yeah.
Right.
It's hot. Five My Girl of the 90s.
Malibu Sands made me want to get a job, you know, and have a boss like Mr. Carosi, and you know.
How about that? Went out to Lion King. Great figure.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Great cast,
Great show. Great show.
Great show.
Golden Girls, Saved by the Bell, and then Modern Family. That's
right.
Okay. That's my three. Those are my three TV shows all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So hopefully by the end of a couple of months, I will know what those references were.
You just better figure it out.
Malibu Sands and all of these things.
I wish you the best of luck. Work hard at it.
There
Don't give up. Right? If you want to do something, you do it now. I heard a wise man once told me. So you need to get on this Saved by the Bell train. Quick.
There we go.
I will.
Yeah. Wow. There's no hope in dope. There you go. So how about that reference?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. I'm the drug-free class of 2000. I remember.
No dose for you, right?
Yeah,
like Jesse.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Pounded.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, besides that, that already is monumental to begin with. I gave you a little assignment before you got on.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted you to go into your Mount. You can even be the, have this be your personal one. Okay. Your Mount Rushmore of Hawaii sports stories for 2018.
For 2018. So are we going 4-3-2-1? Are we going the best first? Like, how you want this done?
You can go 4-3-2-1. Yeah, that'll be good. Build intrigue to this whole thing.
Okay, so number four, I have to say University of Hawaii football.
Yes.
I mean, you go from 3-9 a season ago, yep, right? Nick Rolovich has his first year 2 years ago. It leads him to the Hawaii Bowl. Everyone's excited.
Yep.
You start off pretty strong. It looks like, hey, this team could be something. And then they just fall apart.
Yeah.
You have coaches leaving. You have players departing. People don't have high expectations for the 2018 season. And then, bam, they start 6-1.
Wow.
You got the quarterback competition with Chevin Cordero, Cole McDonald getting everyone excited. John Ursua has an unbelievable season. Rolo got extended today to 2022.
Yes.
So, definitely, University of Hawaii football deserves to be on there. And I put them at number four.
No, that was a great one. Because as far as... if you remember the last time you were on, we asked you to give somewhat of a kind of a prediction of how, and you really told us, honestly, I can't, because there's too many intangibles.
There are 40 new players on the roster this season, and that's what I told you was, how am I supposed to say how this team's going to do? I haven't seen them even practice together yet. I mean, we got 40 new players, and so they definitely exceeded expectations, and I think they're on the right path now. I mean, the schedule gets much tougher next season. But the players are in place. You had a lot of players that were young and played significant roles this past season.
Yeah.
Kind of get thrown into the fire. I mean, I think you move down a couple of years down the road, and I think University of Hawaii is going to be in a good place.
Right. Who's really got on the schedule coming up, 2019?
Well, you got three Pac-12 teams to open the year. They play Arizona first at Aloha Stadium. Then they play Oregon State and then Washington.
Yep.
Wow.
So those are the first three games of the year. So it's going to be rough in the beginning. But, hey, that's going to set them up for the rest of the year.
Right.
Exactly. And I think there's possibilities. I mean, Oregon State struggling right now.
Yep.
I mean, there are teams on the schedule that if Hawaii has a good offseason, that you could surprise them.
Right. That was going to probably be the one that would be the surprise then.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Washington's going to be tough. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got for number three?
All right. Number three, along those lines, I'm just going to say the Hawaii quarterback factory would be number three. And so the aforementioned Chevin Cordero out of St. Louis, right? He wins the Offensive Player of the Year award. He signs with UH. Everyone's excited. And as a true freshman, leads the Bows to two wins in dramatic fashion. So you got that right there. Then you got to remember that on the very first day of 2018, Mackenzie Milton leading UCF to a win over Auburn to, you know, claim a national championship. Yep. Obviously, his season ended in a pretty scary way, in a just horrific knee injury. But then you just look at the season he had leading up to that, right? Yeah, Jordan Ta'amu at Ole Miss and what he did this season. Then, of course, Tua Tagovailoa, Marcus Mariota, you know, with Tennessee. And Tua, I mean, you know, runner-up for the Heisman Trophy, 48 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Leads his team to a national championship game appearance, and obviously things didn't go as planned for him and his team last night against Clemson, but still, unbelievable season. So all the quarterbacks that representing Hawaii right now in 2018 was amazing, and then you even look at the young ones coming up, Dylan Gabriel Mililani and Jaden Delores St. Louis. I mean, it just keeps going.
What is so different of 2018 and the year before that created this? What do you think changed? Where you're getting these guys recruited more so now?
Well, I think it's the aligning of the stars. I mean, you got to look at the quarterback coaches in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Vinny Passis, obviously, at the top of that. The St. Louis quarterbacks coach, who all of these guys that we talk about go through Vinny's system as a youngster. And so I think that has a big part in it. But I think the biggest thing is seeing is believing, right? Yeah. Growing up, you know, if you're in the 80s and the 90s, you look at who's made it, who's playing college football, who's in the NFL, who's in the Pro Bowl from Hawaii. They're all linemen, right? So that's kind of what was believed as far as like, okay, if I'm not 6'5" and 300 pounds, you know, I'm not going to make it. Or I gotta play line if I'm a certain size. And I think as the time has gone on, and you had the Darnell Arsenals and the Jason Gessers and the Timmy Changs, and they start leading up, and you got to start somewhere, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and better, and then Marcus comes around.
Yeah.
Marcus wins the Heisman Trophy, and I think everybody younger than Marcus can now look at it and say, okay, it's possible. If he can do it, this guy looks like me, talks like me, acts like me, he grew up.
He's going to lead the way for the next 20
years.
He grew
up going to Rainbows, and just like I did, he, you know, body surfs at Sandy's. I can do this too, and I think that that's a game changer. That changes everything, and that goes for every walk of life. I mean, imagine the talent that's going to come out of Hawaii because Bruno Mars exists.
Yeah.
Because Bruno was able to accomplish what he did, it just makes things possible. It makes it makes the kids in Hawaii look at it and be like, okay, if I work hard and I put everything I have into something, it is, you know, it might not happen, but at least I know it is possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you look at the quarterbacks, that's what it is.
I think that you bring up a great point of it. It was Mariota that I think that turned the corner for this entire thing.
Yeah, for sure.
He's game changing of what he accomplished, and that's clearly going to lead the way.
Yeah, and I was in New York for his Heisman Trophy, you know, back in 2014, and I remember his speech being about, hey, Hawaii kids, or, you know, it was really the Polynesian community of just don't let this be the beginning. There's a lot more to come, and then what's funny about that is while I was in New York covering Marcus's Heisman acceptance, the guy I was working with at the time, Sam Spangler, his story the next day was on Tua Tagovailoa, who was a sophomore at St. Louis, and we dubbed him Who's Next, and we did this story, and it was really the first feature story on Tua, and I remember we got blasted by people.
Yes, you mentioned that last time.
About, you know, why are you doing a story on this kid, and how is he going to live up to these expectations? And you know, and Sam and I were just like, this kid's special, man. Just watch, and then look right there. Just a few years later, he's runner up in the Heisman.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even to this day, you get all these guys still like back when you were on the show last time. You all these trolls.
Oh yeah, there's haters.
Nonstop every day.
It's all. I mean, it's all
rubbish, right?
Yeah. It's all good. Yeah. I've yet to have anyone on social media that actually goes by their name or has a picture of them say anything negative to me ever.
Yeah.
It's always like, you know, a logo and like a cartoon picture and a nickname. But
wonderful. Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. Keeps me entertained.
Of course. So what we got? So we're at number two.
Okay, so number two would be mixed martial arts in Hawaii.
Oh yeah.
Number two, champ camp here in Hawaii. Yeah. I mean, just along those lines, like the quarterbacks, Max Holloway, UFC featherweight champ. Well, let me back up. There are four major mixed martial arts promotions, right?
Yeah.
Especially when in regards to the United States, UFC, Bellator, ONE Championship, Professional Fighters League. You got Max Holloway, UFC featherweight champ. You got Alimelech McFarland, Bellator flyweight champ. You got Angela Lee, strawweight or atomweight champ at ONE. And then Ray Brother Cooper, who made it to the finals of the PFL welterweight tournament. Yeah. So, I mean, Hawaii mixed martial arts has always been big and has always been on this meteoric rise that's just never ending. And whenever you think, oh, this is it. Oh, BJ Penn, you'll never get better than that. I mean, it just keeps going. And so I'd say the year 2018 for MMA in Hawaii was big. And I think headlined by Max, having the year that he did where the Frankie Edgar fight falls through, then the Brian Ortega fight falls through in a scary situation. Or before that, it was the Khabib fight in Brooklyn, and that didn't happen. So you look at just obstacle after obstacle for Max, and then finally he gets his fight with Ortega to close out 2018, and everyone's thinking like, okay, this is the guy that finally, you know, takes the strap away from Max, and he puts together one of the greatest championship performances of all time. I mean, it's up there with Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey, as far as game plans, execution, just dominance. And then you go to Alimelech McFarland, bringing Bellator to Hawaii. Just a special moment, the fact that the event took place.
Yeah.
But then for it to happen the way it did, I mean, the walkout, the way she won that fight, and just the drama that was brought back to the Neil Blaisdell Center really 10 years after its heyday of Icon Sport, Rumble on the Rock, and Strikeforce, Elite XC, and all that was really special. Yeah.
I got to ask you this now, man. With all of this leading up, we talked about this last time. UFC to Hawaii, Aloha Stadium. Do you see this being a thing in 2019?
I don't. you know, and like we talked about last time, you know, I have just a hard time believing that if it didn't happen yet, then I don't know what's going to make it happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's almost that, you know, I think that Max's success, how quickly it happened, hurt UFC Hawaii because they couldn't use Max as the up-and-comer guy. You know, as far, and that's on their, on them, because, you know, this was coming from a mile away as far as Max's success, and they could have done this back when he was fighting Charles Oliveira and, you know, all these other guys, but they didn't. But then he became champ, and it's too difficult at that point because it has to be a pay-per-view. You know, you're not gonna have a UFC fight night over here. That's just not gonna happen. So it needs to be a pay-per-view, and then all of Hawaii's indoor venues are too small for a pay-per-view. So therefore you need Aloha Stadium, but UFC's not gonna come do an outdoor event without getting paid, without being assured of all this money that they're gonna lose. I mean, because UFC is gonna have to spend a lot of money to make a lot of money, and at this point of the UFC, they don't need Hawaii. Hawaii's not a market that they're trying to grab, right? You know, those outdoor venue events that you see them do in the past, they're trying to get new markets. They're trying to get Australia. They're trying to get Abu Dhabi.
Right.
They're trying to, you know, even Western Australia, not necessarily an outdoor event, but just going to those lengths.
Right.
They're trying to get new markets. But Hawaii, I mean, already, they already know that pay-per-view numbers in Hawaii are through the roof. I mean, I did that interview with Dana White a couple years ago, and he said Hawaii is one of their top markets, right? As far as them, Hawaii people watching the shows that are on TV and then ordering pay-per-views. So, I mean, if it ever, you know, but you know what though? I could be wrong.
Right?
I've been wrong before, but I just don't see it. And I actually think that Bellator coming and it being so successful, a lot of people thought that, like, oh, UFC's going to see that and be like, oh, okay, I actually think it does the opposite. I think UFC does, like, all right, cool, you can have Bellator, you know. And so, but we'll see. I mean, I think at this point, when you look at who is Max going to fight next, and I think the names that come up are Khabib, Conor, right, Ferguson, and you look at those three guys, would those guys come and fight here and, you know, on Max's turf to fight him?
Because
at this point, Max is, you know, Max is below them as far as revenue goes and as far as being the guy. So I feel like, you know, if an outdoor event's gonna happen, remember Conor McGregor's been begging for an Ireland stadium, you know. So let's say Max and Conor is the fight that happens, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna make Conor come to Hawaii and fight in the stadium when you weren't letting him fight, you know. So I just find it hard to believe, but I hope I'm wrong. Like I said, I'm wrong all the time. So I hope this is one of those cases.
Well, you lay it out, I mean, as truthfully as you can. I mean, that's it's all a numbers thing. It's all a demand thing. And it's
it got close. You know, I mean, they had that August event was supposed to be in Hawaii. That was the proposal. Yeah. Everything, the HTA, everyone was on board. Yeah. I mean, you're going, and really, there's no, you can't really blame one side or the other. I mean, UFC needs to ask them for $6 million, because that's what, you know, the NFL is going to be asking for that if the NFL was holding their Pro Bowl here still yet. So why wouldn't you? I mean, the UFC would be taking a step back, and they shouldn't. And then if you're the HTA, you're not going to pay them $6 million, because, you know, this is your first venture here. I'm going to give you $6 million bucks. Exactly. Forget that. So I mean, really, I think that it's just the stars aren't aligned on that one.
No.
You know,
right. So that's number two.
Yeah.
Okay. What we got for number one?
Number one, see, and this is one that I think a lot of people forget, because it's a niche thing that isn't in our lives year round, but the Honolulu Little Leaguers. Winning the Little League World Series.
That is correct. Yeah.
That's got to be number one. And really, I mean, just when you look back at what that did for everybody, you know, I mean, moms, dads, uncles, aunties, grandmas, cousins, everybody was so proud of this team. That, and remember, it's not the first time.
No.
I mean, you know, 05, Ewa Beach, 08, Waipio, and then now this team.
Yeah.
When you look at what was going on at that time, too, with the hurricane scare.
Right.
And these are little kids, I mean, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, who are in front of cameras telling people, like, right? They're telling the people back home, like, don't worry, guys, you know, keep it. Yeah. I mean, and these are little kids. Yeah. These are little kids, you know. Yeah. And so it was just a very special time. And like I said, I think it's easy for people to kind of forget it. But that is definitely, when you really look at what moved the meter, what brought people joy and happiness and excitement, that was one. And, you know, on New Year's Eve, right, that Instagram best nine, yeah. Right? Yeah. So, you know, I separate my work Instagram, my personal Instagram. Yes. So I went on my work one and I was just like, let's do that best nine. It was like seven of my posts were those literally, you know, whether it was them winning the U.S., winning the world, coming back home. And so definitely, I mean, that really moved the meter. People really loved it. And
they
deserve it. They're world champs.
And then they won it. They're dominating fashion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of those games. And then there was the one kid with the hammer.
It was Sean Yamaguchi.
How's he doing? Yeah. What's he up to now?
I don't know.
How was that for like one of the biggest conferences? That you have this kid, local kid, just coming out doing that commercial, and that set the whole thing.
It really did. Yeah. Yeah. And he's a student at St. Louis, so I'm sure you'll be seeing him in a few years, and Crusaders will be going after a state title. But Kamehameha, I think, has four of those kids. So the ILH is going to be a stranglehold for who wins the state title ILH. In about 3 years. Yeah.
Well, how's Pac-5 doing? Private school.
I couldn't tell you. Although my son goes Hawaii Baptist, so in a few years I'll be very interested in Pac-5 athletics. Yeah.
Well, Gary Gabriel for the win.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's looking back at that, let's look forward at things. Let's go into 2019. Where do you foresee things as far as what do you see? We talked about Max Holloway. What's the next thing for him? What's coming up next? You foresee?
I'd imagine he'll probably fight in April or May. That's what you'd be looking at. You know, there's. I would anticipate he's fighting at 155.
Okay.
But then who would it be, right? Because Conor and Khabib, I don't know how soon they're going to be fighting because they're both still under the investigation of the whole incident after their fight, and there's going to be a suspension there and all that. So then you have to start wondering, is Khabib going to get stripped of his title at some point if the Nevada State Athletic Commission puts him out for too long? So then, okay, so let's just say that happens. You take Khabib and Conor out of the picture. That leaves Ferguson maybe for the title, right? There's interesting fights where, you know, super fight wise that you could throw guys in there, but I imagine this is the fight I want to see: Dustin Poirier for Max. And it's because when you take those top guys out, Poirier's next in line behind Ferguson. And if you remember, Max made his UFC debut at the age of 20 against Dustin Poirier and lost. And so Max's only losses are to Poirier, Conor McGregor, and Dennis Bermudez, who Bermudez will never get to fight Max again unless it happens many years from now. But Bermudez is older, so I don't think that's going to happen. So I think that creates something for the UFC where Max is now chasing those losses.
Right?
Because Max is, I think I talked about this on the last time I was on, was that Max is only one of two fighters in UFC history to start their careers 3-3 in the UFC. So have three losses in your first six and then go on and become champion. The other one was Matt Serra, who that was just a total upset win over George St. Pierre. So, I mean, what Max is doing is something that's never been done before in UFC history, and that's start your career that way, that young, and you almost learn on the fly, and you're learning under fire, you're getting these losses, and then you find it, and then become one of the greatest of all time. And so I think that's like a promo right there, right? Yeah. Max trying to chase these losses.
They're wanting to add drama to the UFC to begin with, so why not?
And if he beats Poirier at 155, then who's the next fight? Conor McGregor.
Exactly.
Right there. Yeah. And it lines it up perfectly. So.
Oh, that's excellent. Jillian, what do you think of any sports stories or any sports questions or anything that you want to discuss?
I had a question for you. I mean, obviously, you've been in the industry for a while. I know you kind of touched on it a little bit throughout this whole thing. What does sports mean to Hawaii and the representation? Because, I mean, 50 a state, kind of small. Mm-hmm. People tend to forget about us besides being a vacation place. So what does sports mean for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to what we were talking about as far as people in Hawaii are so prideful, right? And a lot of it has to do with being so far away, being isolated, you know, on an island and always trying to prove something, always trying to prove that, Well, we're just as good as those guys. We're just as good as the East Coast and the West Coast and all that. And I think sports is, it gives you that avenue to more so than anything else, right? I mean, you can't, whatever other facets have it, right? Where you talk about like, oh, we're just as good as everybody else. Sports allows you to actually compete and prove it and actually show people what Hawaii people can do. And I think that has a big part in it, that people are just very prideful. And so whether you're doing it here locally and you're doing it for your community, there's just a pride here that is unmatched. And everywhere I go and all my travels of work, that is what the people who are covering sports in those markets tell me in return, that there's nobody like Hawaii. There's no fans like Hawaii.
Wow.
The athletes aren't like anybody else. The support systems, everything. Hawaii is just a very special place, and I think sports is just a perfect marriage there.
Right. Every time we see anybody that is local, we'll always gravitate and we'll just find them out, no matter how obscure or what.
Exactly. And it's not just sports, right? I mean, if you're watching TV and you're watching like a random television show and you find and this one character is just whatever to you, and then you find out that guy grew up in Hawaii or whatever.
Now he's local.
His favorite TV show now. Favorite actor.
Exactly. We all watch it. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We've been doing that forever.
I was talking to Sean earlier about Neil Everett at ESPN, right? When he was the sports director at KGMB, nobody liked Neil. You know, he didn't really fit in here, but then he goes to ESPN, and now he's on this big stage, and he says, "How's it?" And he throws shotguns, and everyone's like, "Neil, this guy, I love him, bro. It's my guy, bro. Oh, bro, my favorite sportscaster." So
that's funny you say that about Neil, because I remember distinctly when he was on KGMB, and he had this style unlike any Kekala, any of those guys. Yeah. So they all had that little localness to him, and he was already ready to go for SportsCenter. Like, he was all ready to practice.
Yeah, I mean, his style was more sarcastic,
it was witty, sarcastic, but it just didn't sound. Yeah. It was just this Holly guy.
Just didn't fit.
Didn't fit, right?
But the funny thing,
he was ready to go.
But the funny thing, and this is just how it works sometimes, is that Neil could have came back at some point and done the exact same thing he was doing earlier, and people would be like, "Oh, bro, this guy."
Right.
Oh, he's so funny. Oh, he's so sarcastic. I love it, bro.
This is the HBO basketball.
Yeah,
and he did the same thing on the basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
And I would listen to him because he would always crack these jokes, and it seemed like he was drinking. On the air.
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably
he
was.
Might be doing it right now. Yeah, yeah. It's what a talent, I tell you.
Yeah, and that guy, I owe everything in my adult life. He set me on this path. You know, at 15 years old, I interned for him and changed my life. And
yeah, he was the man.
He was the goat.
The man here. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, we have to get Neil on the show.
I will do my best. I will do my best.
If he ever comes back.
Hint.
Although I will tell you, the highbrow room fits Neil Everett.
Exactly. Like
this is his spot. I guarantee you, bro. Guarantee you, bro.
I mean, he's a whiskey guy, right?
Yeah.
So yes, just destroying the planet.
All right, man.
There.
Yeah, I like it. Well, let's hope that your show gets it that far after your Tinder date. Valentine's thing that
you may not be around.
I have a feeling that this is my second and last appearance on this show after that. But.
Keep kind of sure laughing at us. Yeah. Well, with other things to go forth for 2019. Okay, I'm just gonna throw this one out to you. I happen to be a Tennessee Titans fan.
Yes, I'm well aware. Well aware.
And there's a quarterback that plays for that said team.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an off and on kind of season for this gentleman.
Yeah.
And what, one more year left on his contract, his rookie contract.
Yeah.
Where do you foresee Marcus Mariota in 2019?
You know, I wish I had a really good answer for you. I have no idea. And really, it's twofold because, let's face it, I mean, this is your team, but that franchise is an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
as far as
coordinators going in and out, and coaches, and
Norm Chow.
Yeah, good old Uncle Norm.
Ultras.
So so it's twofold. I mean, really, if you're Marcus Mariota, do you want to have Tennessee be your spot for the next 5 years? I mean, because face it, the next contract he signs will be for 5 years.
Right.
They can't protect him. They really never have. They haven't really, you could say like they drafted Corey Davis high, but really that's not going and getting an elite receiver. That's drafting a guy from Western Michigan hoping that thing, you know what I mean? There's a big difference, right?
Right.
the most established receiver that they gave Marcus as a free agent in his time would be Eric Decker.
Which isn't saying
which,
much.
Exactly. So, Delaney I don't know,
Walker,
man.
I mean, well, okay.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sure you agree, too. Delaney Walker, if he's healthy this season, a whole different year.
That's the whole situation, right.
Because well, the biggest issue they had was protection, and he was...
He doesn't throw far anyway. He's
exactly.
going to throw...
Exactly.
Well, the thing with him, and what could be going through his mind is he got drafted by... Well, he wasn't drafted, but Ken Whisenhunt was his first coach.
Yeah.
He gets fired.
Yeah.
He's got a just carousel of these guys coming in.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur's gone. Matt LaFleur goes to the Packers.
Yeah.
He loses another offensive coordinator. So they got to figure out who's going to get
and him. This would be Marcus's fourth offense
exactly.
in 5 years.
Now, what's the mindset of a guy who has nerve damage in his throwing arm, who's got to learn a new offense again?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, okay, we got some stability with Vrabel. I don't think Vrabel's going to go anywhere. I think they're going to
because
the GM's a Patriots
guy. And it's for the defense. And the defense played
right. And the
well
defense
for most of the season.
Right.
Yeah.
They finally established the running in the end. They finally utilized what to run first, throw later.
Yeah.
But now you've got another offensive coordinator gone. What goes into the mindset? If he leaves the Titans, he's going to learn a new system again.
Yeah.
So either way he goes, he's kind of like in a purgatory of what he's going to do.
Yeah,
so.
But if he leaves the Titans, you're choosing... the offense that you're about to learn.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Staying in Tennessee, it'll be whatever this offensive coordinator brings.
Yeah.
And then, based on track record, then the offensive coordinator after that, and then the offensive coordinator after that, right?
Because it's very unfortunate. It's
because even, I mean, look at LaFleur. I mean, his offense was that mind-blowing stuff, but it got him a head coaching job. So... Yeah, man. I don't know. I really don't know what lies ahead. I mean, I imagine he'll be a Titan next year.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen after that.
They will probably offer him the extension.
And they should. If you're Tennessee...
You have to.
You have to.
Right.
Because...
What's left?
And really, are you going to get a free agent that's better than Marcus? You're not.
No.
You know, and so your best hope is that, okay, we let Marcus go, struggle, become a number, you know, get a number two pick again, and then maybe try it again. But if...
They've done that.
And then, yeah, why would you do that?
I'm tired of draft parties.
Yeah.
Tired of
exactly.
Yeah. Sean knows. It's a weird dilemma. It's just very unfortunate that the injuries, just learning new things all the time, it's just...
Yeah, it's
bizarre.
Really, like we're talking about the stars aligned is the opposite of that. Whatever the opposite of stars aligned, like stars scattered, like amongst, like the Big Dipper or something, right? That's what that is, right?
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just too bad he makes like crap commercials, but that's a great story. But they'll continue wherever he goes to. But just and then I didn't get to touch on this last time, and this is kind of a big thing involving the two of us.
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. What do you think
all right. Should I let my wife know about this or
I'll text her later?
Okay,
but
all right.
You're a baseball fan.
Uh huh. Oh, okay. Yeah. I know
and
where this is going.
You just happen to be a fan of the Los Angeles Angels.
Of Anaheim.
Turned to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle with Disneyland.
Yeah.
We got to discuss this now.
And we didn't know this until after
I know.
I left.
What? I texted you right
lost.
After.
And in fact, I brought you a gift. Or I should rephrase it. I intended to bring you a gift and did not. So, it's like that Tinder date where like you leave something, you know. So,
yeah.
So we have to see each other again. Sorry, right? So we'll hook up again because my son's baseball team that I coached.
Yes.
I named them the Oahu Angels of IAEA.
Yes.
And we had sick logos and sick booster shirts.
I messaged you saying, can I have that shirt?
And I got you a shirt.
Wow.
So,
wow.
So I have one
there
for you.
There you go.
Oahu
Angels of IAEA.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he no longer plays for that team. I dropped him. No, I'm just joking. He moved up division. And so I just wanted to coach my daughter when she was young, is it called? T-ball to peewee. Just because I'm super patient. I know how difficult it is coaching little kids like that. And so I wanted to make sure that their first coach was someone that could at least be patient with them and not like the coaches I had, you know. And so so now that my son's old enough, so I don't coach him anymore. And so now he's off doing his own thing. And so the Oahu Angels of IAEA. So not only is a cool shirt, but it is now going to be what is it, nostalgic or
right?
Because that's
and you had the old the Disneyland Angel. Was it the Disney Anaheim
no,
Angels?
No, so
one?
We
which
every
logo you had?
So I coached this team for four seasons, and every season we did the different Angel look.
Oh,
so we had the
shirt.
the lowercase angels. We did the Disneyland angels. Yeah. We did the current angels, but then the current angels with like a navy blue look on it too. So there you go.
Whatever backstock you got.
Yeah, I got you.
So what do you think of the angels? Get rid of Trout? Keep them? What are we doing?
You got to keep Trout. I mean, even if you're not winning baseball games, he brings people to the ballpark.
He's only been to the playoffs 1 year and he's swept.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's like a 20,000 time MVP.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't give this guy a team.
No, you can't let him go. You got to keep him forever. Even if you never win the World Series, even if you only make the playoffs X amount of times over the years, I mean, it's kind of like Barry Bonds with the Giants. Yeah. Like, you just can't. You can't let that go. You gotta, because I mean, you're in Anaheim. People are already coming there for Disneyland and all that, right? It's already a vacation spot, and so Mike Trout would just continue to bring people to the stands. And so, from a business standpoint,
clearly,
it didn't even matter if they're winning ball games. Mike Trout is your cash cow. You can't let him go.
And then
you need to be afraid of him getting tired of not making the playoffs, still, and wanting to go somewhere.
So that's gonna be my next question. Will he would want to leave then?
I don't know, man. I mean, his personality shows that
super nice guy.
That he's an angel through and through, and that, you know, he loves the community and all this. But you never know. And if that day ever comes that he does want to go play for a contender, I mean, you just gotta let him do it. I mean, you gotta be happy for him. You can't. If you're an Angels fan, you can't be a hater and like it's just like, yeah, man. Like he gave him great years. It's like the whole LeBron Cleveland thing.
Right.
Like, come on, dude. Like he did what he had to do.
Yeah. It was just they couldn't build a team around.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Shohei Ohtani. What do you think is gonna happen to him? Is he gonna pitch again?
I think so, because he wants to.
Yeah.
But if I'm the Angels.
Nope.
Probably don't.
Nope.
Probably don't want him pitching.
Forget
because
it.
Because again, too. I mean, Trout and Ohtani. I don't know if there are more. If there's another team in the major leagues that has visitors come to watch, just players, not the team.
Yeah.
Then those two.
Yep.
I mean, you have a lot of people traveling to New York because they want to check out Yankee Stadium, or they go to Fenway because it's like, I always wanted to check out this ballpark and it's so historic and all this stuff. People go to Angels games just to see those two players.
Yeah.
And that's big. I mean, especially for Major League Baseball, when you have 162 games, you can't expect to sell them all out.
Right.
So what's going to get people to come put their butts in seats? And that's what that is.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they win more than 81 games. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Let's hope they're as good as the Oahu Angels of Aiea.
Because
that team was legendary.
I will come to whenever you're free, man. Yeah. Let's get the shirts ready. All the designs. I remember seeing the old Disney one, but I didn't see the old the lowercase.
Man. We had them all, and I wish the Angels would do something, because that just the all just red and white is just a little boring.
Yeah.
Today, man. Like they need to. I actually like the Disneyland logo. Like that was awesome.
That would ruin me.
Every now and then, just gotta wear it. You know.
The lowercase was always.
I'm a uniform junkie too. Like that is.
Oh.
I could talk about uniforms for days.
Rare.
I can't dress myself.
Yeah.
I'm a horrible dresser, but I.
You had a nice shirt tonight though, but.
And you know what's funny about this one?
Yeah.
Right. So I tried it. I bought it at the store. Right. Try it on. Right. And it ends. Appropriately at your waist, but then the back, it's like a tail. It like
oh, so that's like flying down
like long. Is that a thing? Is that like this like new fad or?
Well, what's the brand of shirt? Where'd you go?
It's like Quicksilver or something. I don't believe
it. One of those surfers. That's what
I guess so, man. It's kind
of
weird. Like I never heard of this. Yeah. There's like a flap. Like I feel like it should just be for tuxedos. I feel.
Jillian,
like.
You know about the flap? Is that what the kids doing? They're wearing flaps on the back of the.
I guess so.
Dress shirts.
Yeah, man.
Go figure. Go figure, but I tell you what, we're going to get regular shirts. We're going to get those Angel shirts.
Yes.
I can't wait to get any of those. Well, Jillian, any final question? Any comments to give Mr. DeMello here?
No, that was my big one.
Yeah,
I felt like it was a
great
one.
It was a great
one. It was a great one.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. But first of all, thank you very much for coming
thank
on yet
so
again,
much.
Brother.
You
I tell you, always good times, and always whenever you want to talk about any kind of topical anything, just come on down.
You just give me the call, man. I'll be here.
Don't forget the shirt. All right. Well, the bell is done. Let's get out of here.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
There you are, brother.
You gotta watch Sleep on the Bell.
I will.
All right.
Heard good things about it. I just never got around to watching it.
It's timeless. It is timeless.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, a lot of y'all might understand this, but if you want to come, for any of the recruits out there, if you want to come to a program where you gotta worry about your coach, I
Thank you for listening to Sleep Time's Over. Time's over. No sleeping tonight.